Obviously, if one is forbidden to make idols or even have them in one's possession, it makes logical sense that they are also forbidden to worship them. The Torah tells us in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 5, which literally reads, "You shall not bow thyself to them, nor serve them." Maimonides found two separate commandments within this passage. It is both forbidden to worship or serve an idol and to bow down to it. The rabbis of the Talmud asked the question of what actually constitutes worship of an idol. Rabbi Jeremiah said, "This is what is meant, whether he serve it in a normal way, or sacrifice, make libations, offer incense, or prostrate himself, even if these acts are not the normal mode of worshiping that particular deity." Therefore, according to the definitions of Jewish law, worshiping an idol consists of one of four actions: sacrifice, offering libations, offering incense, or prostration. These were considered the grave offenses. When the Sanhedrin was standing, any Israelite who violated these proscriptions would have been executed, as it is written in Exodus 22 and verse 20, "He who sacrifices to any god other than the Lord alone shall be utterly destroyed." There were also lighter violations as well that are laid out in the Mishnah, such as kissing the idol, washing or anointing it, and clothing it. These were not punishable by death. As far as the specific mitzvah of not bowing down to an idol, Hashem reiterates this with strong language in Exodus chapter 34 and verse 14, which literally reads, "You shall not bow down to any other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God." Therefore, bowing down in front of any god was specifically prohibited. This would include not only idols, but even a king or a ruler who purported himself as God. However, it was permissible to bow down to another human being out of respect, so long as it was not done with the intention of worship. We see biblical examples of this, with Abraham bowing down before the peoples of the land in Genesis chapter 23, or Joseph bowing down before his father in Genesis chapter 48. What becomes not so clear is when angels are involved. There is the curious case of Joshua bowing down in what appears to be worship in Judges chapter 5. He said, "No, rather I indeed come now as a captain of the Lord of hosts." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and bowed down and said to him, "What has my Lord to say to his servant?" The captain of the Lord's hosts said to Joshua, "Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. There seems to be at times throughout Scripture a real lack of distinction between Hashem and his angels, particularly the angel of the Lord. There has been much debate over this topic throughout the centuries. Rabbi Nissim Gerondi, a 14th century expert on Jewish law, ruled that prostration in the form of worship was permitted for the specific angel of the Lord referred to in Exodus chapter 20 as the one who has my name in him. In Rabbi Nassim's mind, this particular angel, who makes other appearances in Scripture, appears to have an aspect of divinity that is not present in other angels. In a related ruling, the 17th century Rabbi Aaron Samuel of Kremenetz stated that one could bow down to a tzaddik in prostration, that is, a person who is completely righteous, because the tzaddik is infused with God's divinity. Therefore, one who serves them and bows down towards them is actually serving or worshiping God. I know that this sounds pretty risky, but it has parallels to what we see in the Gospels when people bow down and prostrate themselves before the Master. Yeshua was the Word made flesh, and in him the fullness of deity dwelt in bodily form. Therefore, to bow down in worship before Yeshua is fitting and proper. The Torah also stipulates that the Israelite was not to derive any benefit whatsoever from idols, objects of avodah zarah, or from anything that has been offered up to an idol. The sages base this prohibition on Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 26. You shall not bring an abomination into your house, and like it come under the ban. You shall utterly detest it, and you shall utterly abhor it, for it is something banned. This becomes especially applicable in regards to food, which in the pagan world was often sacrificed to idols, and it becomes a major issue in the time of the apostles. Based on the rabbinical interpretation of the phrase, drink the wine of their drink offering, which appears in the context of idolatry, wine that was offered up to idols is referred to as Yain Neshech, which was also forbidden. To this day, Orthodox Jews will not drink wine that has been produced by Gentiles for fear a portion of the vat might have been offered to idols. There are several more Torah prohibitions surrounding idols. It's forbidden to swear an oath by an idol or a false god. Additionally, based on the wording of Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 4, do not turn to idols, the sages prohibit gazing on idols, thinking about them, and they forbade the study of idolatrous practices. As we pointed out above, the Torah not only forbade the worship of foreign gods, but it also forbade worshiping Hashem with idolatrous practices. As we saw, a perfect example of this was when the Israelites worshiped the golden calf. Because Israel was entering into a land that was already occupied by many idolatrous inhabitants, it was a constant temptation for them to adopt the customs of the land. This was the prohibition of not following the Chukat HaGoyim, customs of the nations. Leviticus chapter 18 and verse 3 implores Israel, "You shall not do what is done in the land of Egypt where you lived, nor are you to do what is done in the land of Canaan where I am bringing you. You shall not walk in their statutes." And again in chapter 20 and verse 23, "Moreover, you shall not follow the customs of the nations which I drive out before you, for they did all these things, and therefore I have abhorred them." Once again, this is reiterated in Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 13, where Moses urges Israel not to be ensnared to follow the pagan ways, saying, "How do these nations serve their gods, that I also may do likewise?" Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 9 states, "When you enter the land which the Lord your God gives you, you shall not learn to imitate the detestable things of those nations." Included were practical proscriptions, like not marring the edges of one's beard, nor rounding the corners of one's head, tattooing the body, nor cutting oneself or making bald on the forehead in mourning for the dead. All of these were forbidden because they were part of the customs and ways of idolaters. Israel was to be different and unique. Absolutely no mixing of holy and profane was permitted. An issue that is intimately connected with the prohibitions of idolatry is that of the prohibitions on the occult, sorcery, and divination. We read in Deuteronomy 18 and verse 10, "There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, one who causes divination, one who practices witchcraft, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who casts a spell, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead." To quote Torah Club Volume 5, Deuteronomy tells us that God is disgusted by idolatry, child sacrifice, divination, sorcery, witchcraft, spell casting, the channeling of spirits, and consulting the dead. The zero tolerance for sorcery is comparable to that of idolatry. Both sorcery and idolatry involve the worship of demonic elements.